Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. It's putting our faith in Christ, putting and trusting in his sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins. Nothing else can accomplish that. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, as we just sang. I hope you've put your faith in him and not in yourself. If you haven't done that yet, let's talk before you leave here, okay? I heard a pastor ask a question to his congregation a while back that I wanted to ask you. Here it is. What command in the Bible do you think is disobeyed the most? I mean, all the commands in God's word, which one do you think we disobey most often? And obviously, there's no way to prove that. I mean, it's an interesting question. And I thought about that for a while. I came up with two possibilities you may agree with or disagree with, and you may have a different one. The first one I thought of was, do not fear. Right? It's all through the Bible. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Do not fear. It's a command. Do not fear. But we know a lot of Christians live with a lot of fear, even though the Bible tells us over and over and over, don't do that. Now, it's easier said than done, I know. But here's the other command I thought of that's disobeyed a lot. Four words. Trust in the Lord. I mean really, really trust in the Lord no matter what's going on in our lives, good or bad. It's not easy sometimes. But do we really trust in the Lord when we feel anxious or we're worried, when we're in a tough situation? And that's what I felt that Holy Spirit was prompting me to focus on this week, that word trust. So the title of this morning's message is, Who Do You Really Trust? We're going to look at a passage in Proverbs 3 and Psalm 13. So, Father, open your word up to us now. We talk about these things, we sing about these things, we read about these things, but then we realize living them out are a little more challenging. Sometimes they would seem impossible, but like your word says, what is possible, impossible with man is possible with you. So, make the impossible possible today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Didn't say it would be easy, but he said possible. Add your anointing onto this word today. It is alive and it's active and it has power. And may that power go out like sharp arrows and target our hearts. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking to us this morning, I pray, in the name and the power and the authority of the name of Jesus this morning. Amen. Now, what sparked my interest in that word trust was something that Josiah said at the last men's breakfast last Saturday. It's a really good devotion, by the way. Josiah said, you have to know somebody before you can really trust them, right? That makes sense. It's hard to trust someone you don't really know. And now, on the flip side of that, I've met some people who I got to know pretty well over time, and I learned I couldn't trust them once I got to really know them. So there's that part of it, too. So you learn who you can trust and who you can't trust by getting to know them better. But when it comes to trusting God, I've learned through life experiences, some good and some really not so good, but I've learned that the more I got to know God, the more I knew about his character and his nature, the more I learned I can trust him, even when it's challenging, even when it's difficult. And I hope that's been your experience too. Because we can only trust someone to the measure that we believe they are trustworthy, right? Trust is only really given when someone or something proves itself trustworthy. We know we can't trust the government. We know we can't trust the news on the major networks, because they're only telling us what they want us to hear. If you don't believe that, it's time to wake up. better yet, shut it off. Most of it is programmed to spread fear and divide us. We can't trust big pharma or the stock market, so where do we turn to find someone or something we can really trust, something that is trustworthy, worthy of our trust? I got a great idea. Let's turn to God and His Word. The Bible's full of wisdom, full of direction for how we should be living our lives on this big round rock. And these scriptures I'm about to share, they're not on a screen, but just listen to the words of wisdom and truth, and hopefully they will help us, encourage us to learn to trust the Lord more. I love this one from Psalm 20, verse 7. It says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Now, today that verse could read, "Some trust in their bank accounts and investments. Some trust in their intelligence or their strength. Some trust in their connections and the influence they have, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Psalm 22, it says, "In you," meaning the Lord, "in you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed." Psalm 9 says, "Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Psalm 37 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture." That's a place of rest. Enjoy in safe pasture. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you." And then a few verses later in that same psalm, verse 11, the psalm writer says, "In God I trust, I will not be afraid." Psalm 62 says, "Trust in him at all times, O people." Not just in the good times. "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Psalm 91 says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Psalm 125 says, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endure forever." Psalm 143, it's a theme verse, was for Kimberly's Ladies Emmaus Walk. I wish she was here to hear this. It says, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." Isn't that beautiful? "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you." Prophet Isaiah, in chapter 26, verse 4, says, "Trust in the Lord forever. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal." And Jesus himself tells us in John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." And I can go on and on about these biblical commands and affirmations of trusting in the Lord, but I think you get the idea. I mean, both the Old and the New Testament are filled with many more examples about trusting in the Lord. But one of my favorites, and Bobby's favorites, and it's one of the most popular scriptures in all the Bible, it's on coffee mugs and bumper stickers, T-shirts, bookmarks, practically anything with a printable surface. Anyone want to guess what it is? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Let's look at this. Trust. That's how it starts. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, rely and depend wholly on God's wisdom and his power and his goodness. Depend entirely on him for direction and help, and trust in his promises and provision. Trust in him at all times, in times of struggle and affliction, in times of temptation, in times of darkness. All power and all strength are in him to help us. He's full of grace and mercy and love, and we can trust him wholeheartedly. This trust that we have in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit should be with all our hearts. Sometimes we're skeptical because we've learned we couldn't trust this person or that person, and we make the mistake of equating God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit as other people. So, well, I don't know if I can fully trust him. I got burned the last time I trusted somebody. But then that proverb tells us to lean not on your own understanding. In other words, don't depend on your own wisdom and your own understanding. If I'm leaning on this music stand, I'm leaning on it, I'm depending on it to hold me up. Probably not a wise thing to do. I weigh a whole lot more than this music stand, and if it fails, I could get really hurt. And that's what would happen if I'm dependent on something not dependable. I mean, it's good to have confidence in our abilities, but when it comes to trusting in God and understanding him, it's not wise to lean on or depend on our own understanding. We need Holy Spirit understanding. The Bible says a natural man has no understanding of spiritual things, right? We need a new heart. We need a new spirit in order for us to understand spiritual and divine things. We need the scriptures opened up to us by Holy Spirit so we can understand them, not just read them, but fully comprehend and understand them, kind of like what Jesus did on the road to Emmaus with those two guys, right? He opened up the scriptures. Well, we don't know if it's two guys. Cleopas was one of them. The other one could have been his wife or friend. But that revelation they got is what caused their hearts to burn, right? That's what we need. Dependent on the Holy Spirit's wisdom and understanding, not just our own. Now, obviously, God gave us a brain to use and a mind to think and process things, but we can't compare our intelligence, our level of understanding in the flesh compared to what Holy Spirit can reveal to us. All right. Next part of that passage says, in all your ways, not some, not most, but in all your ways, submit to him. Submit to him. Ugh. We hate to submit to anyone, don't we? Even if it's God. Come on. We don't like anyone telling us how to live our lives, even if it's God. What's our problem? Who do we think we are? I know who we are. We're prideful people. If we think we have a better plan on how to live our lives than the one who created us does, we got a pride issue. And the word tells us God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I want his grace, don't you, Lewis? I want his grace. And then it says, in all your ways, we need to submit to him. And look at the payoff, if we'll do that. And he will make our path straight. He will. Not maybe, not might, not hopefully. The word says he will. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Now, in order to make a path straight, you have to get all the obstacles out of the way, right? You know, driving up Mount Eagle Mountain, you think, man, look at the work they had to do to put this road through this mountain. You got to get all the obstacles out of the way. Now, if you're into backpacking or mountain bikes, a straight path would be boring, right? How much fun would that be? You want some twists and turns and challenges and jumps and rocks and stumps and stuff in your way. Josiah went caving yesterday. You know, they used to call it spelunking when I was your age, 100 years ago. I don't know if they still call it that or not, spelunking. But caving, I guess that more explains what it is. Because our culture wants to redefine everything these days, so maybe they want to redefine spelunking. But anyway, that wouldn't have been as much fun for Josiah and his friends if it was just a straight path, would it? It was just straight down, straight this way, straight up. That would have been okay, but not as much fun as it was. But constantly having obstacles on this path of life that we're all on can wear you out after a while. You begin to wonder, does everything have to be so difficult? Has everything got to be so difficult? Hey, God's word is trying to help us here. If we'll listen, if we'll trust. Imagine if we trusted in the Lord with all our hearts and we didn't lean on our own understanding. Imagine if we submitted to him in all our ways. Now, life still wouldn't be perfect, but it'd be a whole lot less complicated. I believe it'd be a whole lot less chaotic and stressful. I think it'd be a whole lot more peaceful. God bless you. Living by those two verses would make a huge impact on our lives and the world around us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. Oh, there's so much in those two verses. Lord, please help us to obey these two verses. Help us to trust you more and to submit to you more. Give us more of your wisdom, we pray. Amen. Amen. I got a few more verses of scripture that deal with trusting God that I want to finish with from Psalm 13. It's a psalm of David. David starts out complaining, but in just six verses, his complaint changes to praise and worship. So let's look at Psalm 13, verse 1 and 2. David says, "O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? How long? How long? How long? How long?" In two verses, David is asking the Lord the same thing four times. How long? How long, Lord? Now, David knew the scriptures, right? He knew the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. So David knew Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. It says, "The Lord himself goes before you, David, and will be with you, David. He will never leave you nor forsake you." David knew that verse. Yet here in Psalm 13, he's asking the Lord, "How long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way?" David's feeling kind of forgotten and forsaken, even though he knows what that verse in Deuteronomy says. But we've all been there, haven't we? When heaven's silent, when God's not moving, life throws us a curveball, and even though we also know what that verse says, we begin to ask, "How long? How long, O Lord, are you going to forget about me too? How long are you going to look the other way? Hey, I'm over here. Don't you see what I'm going through?" Of course he does. Of course he does. We know that he sees us. He's the God who sees all, right? He's El Roy, R-O-I, the God who sees me. Now, David doesn't really identify what his struggle is here, but he's coming to terms with what it means to really trust the Lord during tough times. Sure, it's easy to trust him when things are going well. There's money in the bank, the bills are paid, there's food on the table, the kids are healthy, the job's working out, marriage is good. But what about when times are hard and fear and doubt and uncertainty starts to creep into our thoughts? Where are you, God, when I really need you? Anybody besides me ever ask God that? I'll admit I've asked him that more than once. So David feels left out. He's feeling isolated from God, and anxiety and depression is setting in. Look what he says. "How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day?" This guy's miserable. This man is overcome with anguish and sorrow every day. He is severely depressed. And he's wondering, "How long will my enemy have the upper hand?" Now, we don't know for sure what enemy David's referring to here, but we know for sure who our enemy is, right? And sometimes it feels like he has the upper hand. And when we're feeling like David is feeling, our perceptions might not be really accurate. Hear me. See, what David feels is the case here isn't really the case after all. it's not the true reality, but his perception is God's abandoned me. God has abandoned him in his time of great need. That's not the true reality, but it's David's perceived reality, and it's real to him, right? And there may be times when our perceived reality about a situation isn't the true reality, but it sure seems real to us. Is this making sense? Sometimes our perception is that God has forgotten about us and is nowhere to be found when we need him the most. Yet we know that's not true, but that's our perception when we're in the middle of it. Now, that can't be true about God if he promises us he'll never leave us or forsake us. But I got to tell you from my own personal experience, when my heart was breaking into a million pieces, I felt just like David felt in this psalm, because my perceived reality wasn't the true reality, but it was still my reality at the time, right? You could have quoted me all kinds of scripture, and it wouldn't have made a difference, because my reality to me, even though it wasn't accurate, it was real. Even though it wasn't accurate, it didn't change the fact. That's how I felt at the time, and that's how David's feeling, that God had forgotten him. See, our logic a lot of times is that this good, all-powerful God, if this good and powerful God hasn't forgotten us, then how would we still be in such a mess? Now, some of our messes are self-inflicted wounds, right? Poor choices lead to poor consequences. We reap what we sow. That principle is still in effect. So sometimes we create our own drama or our own problems. But what about those times when life just happens? Life just slaps us in the face or kicks us below the belt, and we wonder, where are you, God? If you really cared, you'd do something about this. How long, O Lord? Right? How long are you going to let this go on? Have you forgotten about poor, pitiful me? Hey, we're asking this to the same God who has our names engraved on the palm of his hands. That was in that one song. I didn't even know it was in that song until it came out. I said, hey, I mentioned that, and it was in that song. How can we ask him, have you forgotten about me, when our names are engraved in the palm of his hand? He hasn't forgotten us. We just don't always understand his ways or his purposes or his timing, especially. Believe me, he knows what he's doing. Listen, God's care and his love for us, it's like the sun. It's always there. Even when dark storm clouds obscure the sun, doesn't mean it isn't there, just we can't see it. It's always there. God's love and care for us is always there too. Sometimes we have to go above the dark clouds in our lives to see it more clearly. David's awareness of his enemies taunting him obscured his awareness of God's kindness and love for him at that moment. So now he's going to make some requests of God in his prayer. Look at verse 3 and 4. Turn and answer me, O Lord, my God. Restore the light to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. David's pleading with the Lord now. First, he's just complaining. Hey, how long, how long, how long? Now he's pleading with God. Look at me. Answer me, Lord. I need some assurance here. I need some help. Restore me or I'm going to die. I'm just going to curl up and die. Don't let my enemies celebrate. Come on, Lord. Help me. Now, I realize some of us are plagued with these kinds of feelings more than others, right? There are some people that are usually negative or down. Some people are always up and bubbly, and sometimes you feel like smacking them, tell them just shut up, be still. Some people are introverts, want to be left alone. Some are extroverts, got to have people around them. Some of us are the glasses half full kind of people. Some of us are the glasses half empty kind of people. So some of us handle disappointments and hard times better than others. Some of us are like Tigger and Winnie the Pooh. Some of us are like Eeyore. And that influences how we deal with tough times. Up until now, David has been an Eeyore, but it changes dramatically. Look at verse 5 and 6. But I trust, there it is, in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he has been so good to me. But I trust. Now he's getting it. In just 6 verses, David goes from whining and complaining, from despair and depression, to rejoicing and praising. What happened? What changed? Now, verse 5 and 6 don't indicate in any way that his circumstances changed, but his perspective changed, right? His perceived reality changed. He realized God's the same God in the dark as he is in the light. So let's learn from these 6 verses so we don't allow the storm clouds in our lives to obscure the true reality that the Lord is like the sun. He's always there. He never left. I know. At times it feels like he has left. I've experienced that too. But he's not. He hasn't left. Now, we may walk away from him out of just ignorance or wrong perceptions of situations in our lives. Like, I'm done, Lord. You didn't come through on any. I am done. But he never walks away from us. So let's never forget what we've learned in the light when we find ourselves in the dark. Amen? I will sing to the Lord. Why? Because he has been so good to me. He's not complaining. Where are you? Are you going to forget me forever? He's been so good to me. Let's face it, it's hard to worship when you struggle with anguish in your soul and with sorrow in your heart every day. It'd be hard to worship. You can go through the motions. You could sing the songs. I've told you this before, but I just thought of it. That song, It Is Well With My Soul. I love that song. But there was a time I could not sing that song because it was not well with my soul. And God knew that. And I would just clam up if I was anywhere where that song was playing, and I just couldn't sing it. I can now, thankfully, because it's well with my soul again. But see, that's what God has done. The Holy Spirit has done over time. I didn't just say, I'm done with you. I came close. Thank God for a praying wife. Whew. But it is hard to worship when you struggle with anguish and sorrow and you feel like the enemy has the upper hand on you. So what gets us from despair and depression to rejoicing and praising? What did it for David? Prayer and trust, right? After he complained, he prayed. And he rejoiced because he realized he could trust in the Lord with all his heart. He realized he could trust in the Lord's unfailing love. He could rejoice because the Lord rescued him from despair. And he could sing to the Lord because he realized how good God has been to him. Trusting leads to rejoicing. David's circumstances may not have changed, but his perspective changed, and that changed everything. Same thing goes for us. And the same thing will happen for you and for me if we will trust in the Lord's unfailing love. And then we can rejoice and we can sing to the Lord because he's been so good to us too. Hasn't he? Hasn't he been good to us too? How do we get there? Through prayer and trust. And trusting leads to rejoicing. Hey, if we're having a hard time trusting God, it's only because we don't know him well enough. The more we get to know him, the more we realize how trustworthy he is. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, through Christ, you have come to trust in God. Through Christ. And he says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right? Just show us the Father. He says, what are you talking about? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. My words are his words. They're not mine, they're his. That's amazing. But through Christ, we've come to trust in God. Trusting leads to rejoicing. So let's pray and let's trust him more. Amen? Let's stand. We'll have a prayer of dismissal. And if you want a prayer, you want me to pray, come on up. If you want to pray for somebody, you got a word for somebody, share it with them. If you got to go, God bless you. Have a great afternoon. I hope you'll come back and bring somebody with you next week. Lord, thank you for the truth in your word. And thank you, Lord, that whether it feels like it or not, we know we can't go by feelings. We have to go by the truth. We have to go by what your word tells us. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never change. You're not like the shifting shadows or the sand. You are solid rock. Yet there are times when we wonder, how long? How long, O Lord? And yet you are trustworthy. All your ways for us are good. Your thoughts on us, your plans for us, they're all good. We may think you're slow, and what about this, and when are you going to come through on that, and why didn't you give me this? And yet, even those things, because of your great love for us, you know, said, no, I know you want that really bad, and you think that's going to be good for you. I got something better, but you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to trust me. So it comes down to trust. Do we trust him? Lord, help us. Where we struggle with trust issues. Maybe we've been burned before. And it could have been in a church. It could have been a church leader burned us, so we're turned off by the whole situation. But that's not who you are. That's not who you are. So, Lord, give us that trusting heart, that we can trust you with all our heart, so we can rejoice, so we can thank you, and so we can sing to you for all the good things you've done for us. You're so good. You're better than we've been told. Help us live that out in ways that people see us, they see you, and they learn to trust. And may we be found trustworthy with you and with each other. I pray all this in the name, the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our soon returning King. Amen and amen.